Christine Ahn is international coordinator of Women Cross the DMZ. She'll be the main speaker at a Women Against War event in Albany next Saturday titled Diffusing the U.S.-North Korea Conflict, Building on the Olympic Truce. It is a great pleasure to welcome Christine Ahn to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you, Joe.
So give us a sense of what you'll be talking about next week here in Albany.
I'm sure many of your listeners may have heard the State of the Union speech the other night, and perhaps the most alarming part of his speech was the kind of buildup of demonizing and villainizing North Korea, which, you know, to me, as somebody who was among the millions of people who marched on the streets against the U.S. invasion of Iraq, seemed very much like Bush's Axis of Evil speech. It seemed very much to beat the drums for war. And many may not have known that that day there was breaking news about the pulling of the nomination of the U.S. ambassador to South Korea. His name is Victor Cha. He's a professor at Georgetown and a longtime diplomat. And he's quite a hawk. And he was axed because he was not willing to support the Trump administration's bloody nose strategy, which is basically a preemptive strike ahead of North Korea's nuclear facility. So we have entered a dangerous phase in the lead up to the Olympic truce. We have a kind of golden window right now because of this truce. The U.S. and South Korea have agreed to delay the annual military exercises they conduct. And South and North Korea have begun an inter-Korean reconciliation process that has basically been frozen for 10 years. And so we are kind of in a critical moment right now, and it's really urgent that we understand the historic roots of the conflict. Why are we in this dangerous escalation with North Korea, and what can Americans do about preventing the U.S. and the Trump administration from going to war with North Korea?
Let us step back a moment and talk about the event you organized in 2015, Women's March Across the Korean DMZ. This included Nobel Peace laureates, women from North and South Korea, and peace activists from across the world. Give us a sense of how that happened and ultimately what you feel you accomplished.
Well, it took some incredible organizing and very fancy footwork that I think that's what women do. You know, we use the various networks and, you know, we build relationships. And it was, I mean, just looking back now and, you know, actually the most difficult obstacle we faced at that time was South Korea, who was led by actually a female president at the time, Park Geun-hye, but she was very hardline. She, you know, she gave us a very difficult time to try to get approval. We actually got approval. That was obviously the Obama administration and the U.S. forces in Korea, which controls, you know, the southern part of the DMZ, gave us the green light if the two Koreas had agreed to our crossing. What we accomplished, we brought to the world's attention that this war has not ended, especially to Americans who don't have any understanding of the Korean War, that the U.S. Contributed to the Korean War, that the U.S. led forces against North Korea, that we waged a brutal war, you know, against North Korea, that 80% of North Korea was completely destroyed, and that this war needs to be formally resolved, and that it's not just a war between North and South Korea, but that it includes the United States. And we have, as Americans, to bring a formal resolution to the war. And that is why we are in this dangerous escalation that we are today. And so we brought issues of the families, that millions of families still remained divided by the peninsula, and that we are wasting enormous resources towards the militarization and preparation for war when we need to invest it into things that give us true genuine security in homes, in jobs, in education, in healthcare. And so those were the things that we discussed. We discussed it with North Korean women. We discussed it with South Korean women. But we also talked about the important role that women must play, because when women are involved in peace processes, not only does it result in an actual peace agreement, it actually leads to a more durable one. So we believe that we must be involved, and we are the half of the world's population. Women are disproportionately impacted when there is a conflict, and we believe that we must be part of the solution.
Christine Ahn is International Coordinator for Women Across the DMZ. She'll be the speaker next Saturday, February 10th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Albany on Washington Avenue. There is something about the title of your speech that I find hopeful, which is Diffusing the U.S.-North Korea Conflict, Building on the Olympic Truce. Talk a little bit about the truce and how you believe we can build on that.
Well, there was a significant shift that took place at the turn of this year, and the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, extended an olive branch to South Korea. And so starting next Friday is the beginning of the Winter Olympics, which happens to be in South Korea, in Pyeongchang. And the South Korean president, Moon Jae-in, you know, basically came in on a wave of the candlelight revolution. It was basically an Arab Spring that took place in South Korea, and millions of people took to the streets to protest the former president, Park Geun-hye, for corruption and bribery and extortion. And so Moon Jae-in rode in on that candlelight revolution. He came in promising to improve inter-Korean reconciliation, which is basically threatening. You know, if you look at the situation, if the U.S. conducts a bloody nose strategy, a preemptive strike on North Korea, what is likely to happen? North Korea is going to retaliate, but we know they have a nuclear arsenal of at least 20 weapons. And so who are they going to target first? They're going to target the 80 U.S. bases in South Korea. They're going to target the U.S. bases in Japan, in Guam, in Okinawa. And so it's not just going to be a contained precision strike, as the Trump administration wants to create this fantasy, just as they did about Iraq or Vietnam. And so what we are trying to say is South Korea has been a historic ally of the United States. They have reached back to the olive branch that North Korea extended. North Korea is sending, you know, athletes. They're sending musical performers. They're going to march together under a one Korea flag. So while this incredibly hopeful moment, historic breakthrough is taking place, the United States should not derail that. We should support that and actually push now for greater dialogue that includes talks about the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. But unfortunately, what we saw with the president's speech, what we have seen with what happened to the potential appointment of Victor Cha, is this Trump administration does not want to support that. They want to take us on a path of war. And we, the American people, must oppose and resist. This would be, you know, the Congressional Research Service says that if there were to be any military conflict in the opening days, there would be over 300,000 people that would be killed. And that's not including the use of nuclear weapons. Were nuclear weapons to be used, 25 million people would be impacted. The Pentagon says that ground troops would be required to go and secure the North Korean nuclear facilities. Over 600,000 troops. Who is going to furnish those troops? I don't think Americans, we are still trying to get out of Iraq. We are still trying to deal with the legacy of the Bush era. And unfortunately, taking us into Korea in a new Korean War is not going to help that effort. So it's a really critical moment. I'm so honored to be coming to Albany. I know there's a strong peace movement there. I really hope people will come out to learn about the crisis and what ordinary people can do to avert a war.
You know, you talk, and we've sort of been talking around the provocative language that the president has used regarding North Korea in the past, and even this past week, after, as you mentioned, the some hope in coming with the Olympic truce, that we see the president say something like, "I would love to be able to get bring our country back into a great form of unity, but I'd like to do it without that major event. But it's hard without a major event where people pull together." I don't even know what that means, but it doesn't sound good.
It doesn't. Oh, my God, that's so amazing, Joe. I read that as well, too. And I had the same eerie feeling that we know that the Mueller investigation is encircling him, and that they want to do anything to distract the Americans from what's really going on in Washington, D.C. And so between that and when was the last time that the American people united around a tragedy? It was 9/11. And so I'm very, very concerned that they may be, you know, planning something, and that they see uniting around, you know, the invasion of North Korea as something that could be that tragic event. You know, what just alarmed me so much about the president's speech was the way in which he used the two tragic stories of the parents of Otto Warmbier, the American student that was detained in North Korea and unfortunately suffered a coma and then died soon after he was returned to the United States, and then the North Korean defector. And, you know, there was some way in which he was conflating the liberation, the quote-unquote liberation of the North Korean people with the preservation and defense of American freedom. I just think that is just so wrong on so many levels. And it just seemed that he was completely building a moral case for a U.S. invasion of North Korea. And that would just be devastating and just so completely wrong in so many ways. And so it's so crucial to actually understand the history. You know, when he threatened to totally destroy North Korea at the U.N., you know, most Americans had no idea that we already totally destroyed North Korea in the 1950 to 53 Korean War. Why that nation has built a paranoid garrison state that is hell-bent on the defense and sovereignty of their nation has very much everything to do with the fact that they suffered the kind of brutal, indiscriminate bombing campaign that our government and military waged against the Korean Peninsula. So, yeah, I agree with you. It was very eerie and reminiscent very much of the Axis of Evil speech.
Christine Ahn will be speaking next Saturday, February 10th, at the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Albany. The name of her speech is Diffusing the U.S.-North Korea Conflict, Building on the Olympic Truce. You can find out more information about the event by going to womenagainstwar.org, womenagainstwar.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.